Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 12 lines from the top of Daf Chof Dalid. You'll notice that we have a triangle, and it's also counted as number 2. We're continuing with the discussion that we started at the tail end of our previous shiur. Do the Rabbonon disagree with Reb Elozer ben Yaakov regarding the realm in which Nidrei Zeruzim apply? According to Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, he has what we'll call an expanded version of Nidrei Zeruzim, that they apply. Nidrei Zeruzim, again, are motivational vows that in truth have no true vow strength. They're not binding, they're simply motivational. Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, we saw in our previous year, extends that concept to areas beyond maso matan, beyond commercial transactions. The example that we saw when Nidrei Zeruzin was first introduced with the buyer and seller, as you may recall. So now, the Gemara continues. Toshma ha'oimer l'chavero, kainim sha'ato ne'enis li, im I ato noisein livni kur shel chitim u'shtei chavias shel yayin. The speaker, the vow maker, says that I will not allow you to benefit from me if you don't give to my son a kur, as a measure of chitim, of wheat, and shtei chavias, 2 barrels of wine. Rabbi Meir Omer, Osur ad shitein. Rabbi Meir says that this vow is binding until the party gives what was requested. V'chachomim omrim af ze yochol lahatir es nidro shelo al pichachom. This too, like the previous source, where we saw there as well, a vow that can be undone even without consulting with a sage. She yochol lomar, the subject of the, or I should say, the vow maker, the one who articulated the vow, can say, "Hareini keilu hiskabati." I view it as if I already received. And in the original vow, the vow maker said to his friend, "You will have no benefit from me if you don't give my son these things. I want you to know," says the vow maker, "I consider it as if I received it." Now, in order for the vow to be absolved, you need this announcement. Taimo dioma hareini kilu hiskabalti. The reason the Chachomim say that there is no vow is because there was a formal, we'll say, statement of equivalency. It's as if I received it. Ha lav hochi neder hu. Without this, then the neder, the vow, would be binding. Money, who would author that? E Reb Elozer ben Yaakov. If it were Reb Elozer ben Yaakov, then this would be simply another example of Nidrei Zeruzim. Just like Reb Elozer ben Yaakov said that Nidrei Zeruzim, this concept of motivational nedarim, meaning in effect non-vows, applies to inviting someone for a meal, namely it's beyond the realm of commercial transactions, so too this is beyond the realm of commercial transactions and would be viewed as simply Nidrei Zeruzim. Therefore, it's not a vow even without the vow maker expressing the equivalency. Elo lav Rabbonon upliki. So rather, it must be that this source is authored by the Rabbonon, who argue with Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, or we should say, and you see from here that they argue, namely that without the vow maker's statement of equivalency, this would have been a real vow. So the Rabbanan disagree with Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. The Gemara says, loy. And again, like we saw before, a rejection. That's why the triangle is inverted, as we explained in our previous year. The Oilam Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, the source we just read, is really authored by him. Umoide Reb Elazar b'hai de nidra havi. That Reb Elazar will concede that in this case you're dealing with a real vow, not a nidrei zeruzin. Why is this a real vow? Mishum di omar lei, because the vow maker has a statement to make. He has a stand that he wants to take. He has an agenda. He says, Lav Malko ano, what do you think I am? I'm not a king. De mahanino loch va'at lo mahanisli. That I give out, I distribute, I benefit you, and you don't give me anything. A king is someone who's, we'll say, is viewed as very wealthy, has almost unlimited resources. He can afford to benefit, to offer benefits to the public without needing anything in return. But I'm not a king, he's saying. He says, I'm always giving you benefits, I'm always doing you favors, and you do nothing for me. Well, I therefore, I'm telling you from this point on that you will have no benefit from me if you don't give me something. In this case, give my son kur chitim and shtei chov yishayayin. Omar le mark shisha brei de Rav Chisla Rav Ashi. Toshma, so we try again. We're trying to figure out what is the position of the Rabbanon with regard to Nidrei Zeruzin. Does it extend beyond Masil Mata, beyond commercial deals? Toshma nidrei oitzin hediru chavero shiachal etzel v'cholahu o chola beno o sheikvo nohar ha lav hachi nederhu. So what do we see over here? We see a Mishnah quoted from later on. It's another category of, we'll say, nidorim that are not binding, and it involves nidrei oinsin. The word oinus has to do with things beyond one's control. So an example of a neder that will, let's say, not be binding because of unforeseen, uncontrollable circumstances. Here you have a speaker, hediru chavero, he imposed a vow on his friend in order to get the friend to come over for a meal. And then he took ill, or his son took ill, or he couldn't cross the river, and so he never ended up coming over for the meal. By the way, in presenting this, you might have noticed, out of character, we're using pronouns, and we're not specifying who the speaker is and who the subject is. Very much out of character with regard to our Gemara markings, Shiurim. We have made mention on past occasions that one of the major problems in learning a Daf Gemara is getting confounded with pronouns, and then losing sight of who is the speaker, who is the subject, to whom who is being spoken to. But here, we deliberately have to be vague in order to create the attempted proof, and then change things when we encounter the rejection. So in the meantime, we have a vow maker trying to get someone to eat by him, and then we see these unforeseen, uncontrollable circumstances that prevent the meal from taking place. And we continue after reading the source, we say that Halav Hachi, if not for these, we'll say, extenuating circumstances of illness or the inability to cross the river, the nether hill would have been a binding vow. Money. Who would say that this is a binding vow? Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Masi Rosenhave. If this were authored by Rosen Yaakov, you're dealing with a straightforward case of trying to motivate someone, and even without illness, the neder would not have taken hold. Now, this source says that as a result of the illness, the neder is not binding. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov will tell us that even without the illness, the vow would not be binding. That's called Nidre Zeruzin, motivational vows. And we've already seen Rabbi Elazar and Yankov say that they're not binding. Elo lav Rabbonon uplegi. So it must be that this is authored by the Rabbonon, and that what we would call a neder, Lazares, a neder, a vow to encourage, to motivate someone to come, that's a serious vow. And hence they argue with Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov, who extended the concept of Nidre Zeruzin beyond commercial transactions. The Gemara says, Li'olam Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. In truth, this source is in accordance with Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. And notice that this is a long rejection. You might notice that we have little letters Aleph, Beis, and Gimel in parentheses. This represents basically the three stages of analysis. The first stage being, could this have been Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov? Certainly not. Stage two, then we conclude it must be the Rabbanan. And now at stage three, we go back to what we said at the beginning. Really, it could be, it's authored by Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. And we don't see what the position of the Rabbanan is at all. Li'olam Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov, umi sabris de adre mezamno lezamino. Who is to say that it's the host, the inviter, imposing a vow on the invitee, on the guest? That would have been Zeruzin, motivational, where the host is trying to motivate the friend to come over for a meal. But who says that's what it was talking about? No, it's not talking about that. In other words, it's not talking about the classic case of Zeruzin. Rather, Dezamino Adre Lemezamno. The vow speaker, or the vower, is the guest, is imposing a neder, a vow upon the host. The Omar lay, the guest, is saying, Mizamnis li lesudasech, are you going to invite me for a meal, Omar lay? And yes, the balabaya says, the host says, yeah, I'll invite you. And the guest says, Neder Zolech, would you be willing to bind yourself to a vow? The Nodar, and he did. The Cholahu, O Shechola Beno, O Sheikvo Nor. And the guest took ill, or the son of the guest took ill, or the river was such that they couldn't cross it. Hare Elu Nidre Oinksim. These are categorized as a Neder that could not take hold because of uncontrollable circumstances. But what's important for us is that this source is not describing a case of Nidre Zeruzin from the very outset. Toshma, number four. Yeser al kain omar Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. Yeser means more than that which he had said in the Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chavero. Remember, Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov was, in our previous Mishnah, extending the concept of Nidre Zeruzin to areas beyond the realm of commercial transactions. So, more than that which he said in the previous Mishnah, Ha'omer l'chavero kinim shani nehene loch im I ato misarech etzli v'toichali mipas chamo v'tishtei mikis chamin. I forswear benefit if you don't come and visit with me and eat with me some fresh bread and drink with me a cup of hot beverage. Valo hikpid kinegdo. And the other party was upset. Rashi says, "Valo hikpid kinegdo af al gav shepirei shlo hakol, v'af al pi shehikpid kinegdo." Even though everything was spelled out, and even though the other party was upset, af elu nidre zeruzin. Even with all of this, all of the details spelled out, and the guest, the invitee being upset, all of this comes under the category of nidre zeruzin. And the Chomim did not agree that this is considered Nidrei Zirusin. My loy hoidu lo chachomim, the descent of the chachomim stated here. Lav, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, afilu bekomaisa, even with regard to those examples mentioned before. Ushma mino pligi rabbonon ole shma mino, and this would be then conclusive that the rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yankov regarding his application of nidrei zirusin beyond the realm of commercial activity. The Gemara asks, "My havi Allah." Now that we've established that the Chachomim disagree with the Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov, how are we to rule? Does the halacha follow Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov that nidrei zirusin is extended beyond commercial transactions, and hence that would be a leniency or not? Toshma diyom Rav Huna halacha k'Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. Rav Huna rules like Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov. V'chein amar Rav Adar bar Avo halacha k'Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov, and he too rules like Rebbe Elazar ben Yankov, which, after all is said and done, would then represent a leniency, that the concept of nidrei zirusin, motivational vows which are not binding, extend to areas beyond commercial transaction. We continue with the new Mishnah, which deals with one of the additional categories that we saw a couple of dapim ago, about four kinds of nidorim that are not nidorim, nidrei havai. What is that? Omar koinim im loy roisi b'derech hazeh ka'ulei Mitzrayim. A person accepts upon himself through a vow, stating that, we'll use an example that you can see in the Tosfos. A person says that the fruits of the world should be konam, means like a korban, mean forbidden upon me if I did not see a mass of people numbering like the those redeemed from Egypt, 600,000 people on the road. Or he says, "Im lo roisi nochosh kekiras beis habad." Or he swears, he forswears benefiting from fruits if he did not see a serpent like the main, we'll say, beam in an olive press. There was a beam that was used in the course of pressing olives. So he's saying that if he did not see a serpent that was like the Koras Beis Habad, so then the fruits of the world should be forbidden to him. Now, let's take things on a literal basis. Did he see millions of people on the road? Well, no. What was his vow? His vow was that the fruits of the world shall be usur if he did not see that many people, or if he did not see a very large serpent. Well, if you took things literally, he did not see millions of people on the road, and he did not see a very large serpent. So the fruit would be usur. And yet we're saying that the fruit of the world is mutter, because this is the way people speak when they want to make a point. They exaggerate, and they are not to be taken literally. Let's look at the Tosfos together. Nidre Havoi, im lo roisi. Tosfos says, Pirush, Shomar kinen perus oilam olai, let the fruit of the world be usur unto me, forbidden to me, im lo roisi, if I did not see thus and thus. Mutaren, the fruits are mutter. Mitam dafidi inshi de mishtoi hochi. People speak this way. Kedei la ames, ulit tzadik is the ram, in order to make a point, to strengthen their point. If when a person sees something that is out of the ordinary, that's unusual, his intent is not really to forbid the fruits of the world. He's simply trying to make a point. We bear witness that the person was never serious in binding himself to this vow. The Gemara, Tana. Nidrei havoi mutoren, shvuos havoi asurin. So nidre havoi, havoi, as we saw already, means has to do with exaggerated speech. When it comes to vows made in that context, they're not binding. However, oaths, shvuos havoi arsun, hechi domi shvuos havoi, what do you mean by that? Ilemo di omar shvuo im lo roisi baderech hazeh. He swears if he did not see on this road millions of people. Meidam komer, did he say anything? Does that have any meaning? Is there any substance to that? And yet the source says the shvuos havoi asun. So what was said? Omar Abai di Omar. The fellow said, Shvua Sheroisi. He swears that he saw millions of people on the road. Or he swore that he saw Anochas Kikuris Beis Abad. Omar Le Rova. Im Kain Loma Li Lameimar. If that's what the source is saying, Shvua Savoy Asurin is just what Abai described, so why do you need to tell me the obvious that such an oath is a binding oath? And of course, he would be then guilty of violating because he didn't really see such a thing. The oath, and further, Rova objects. Dumyo de neder kotoni. The source is describing shvuos in the same context of as nidorim. In nidorim, what happens? What is being said? In nidorim, something is being, the speaker is prohibiting upon himself something through the vow. So similarly, there should be some indication of something being prohibited through the oath. And we don't see that in Abaye's explanation. Elo Omar Rova. So this leads Rova to his own shot. The rush, before going on in the Gemara, on the second wide line under the Ran commentary, the rush imkein loma li lameimar, kevan diomar shvua shero isi, since he's saying, I swear that I saw millions of people, keili mitzrayim, Pshita she'osar afapi shederach olam likro la'amrav kiyotz mitzrayim. Even though it's customary for people to speak about lots of people to be like the yotzei mitzrayim, mikomakom osur lishava al zeh. Nevertheless, it's forbidden to swear thusly. Uvaneder dafke shirinan hanoder shelo kiven l'neres. It's only in the case of a vow that we say that a person didn't really intend the vow when he based it on his seeing like the Ole Mitzrayim. And furthermore, Rava objected that the Shivua referred to should be something like patterned, similar to the Neder feature, where some item is being prohibited. Therefore, we continue in the Gemara text, Elo Amar Rava, B'yoymer Yesru Perosoy Lamolai, B'shvua Imlo Ra'isi Baderech Hazeh Ka'ili Mitzrayim. Let the fruit of the world be prohibited to me through a vow. In other words, if I were to eat fruits, I would be considered in violation of an oath. If what? Imlo Ra'isi Baderech Hazeh Ka'ili Mitzrayim. If I didn't see on this road people in equivalent in number to the to those who left Mitzrayim. So now, did he see that? He didn't see that number. So his vow, his oath was that the fruits shall be usher on him if he did not see Koli Mitzrayim. Well, since he didn't see Koli Mitzrayim, so the fruit will be usher. So it's on this. On this basis, or with this explanation, we understand the source that said shivuos havai or asurin means the shivua will be binding. Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, v'dilmo hai gavra kino de shum shamni chaza. The Asik Lahoin Shma Oile Mitzrayim Veshapir Mishtaba. Why do you say the fruits are usur? Asks Ravina. Maybe this man saw an ant colony. Kino Deshum Sham. Shum Sham, your ants. So he may have seen a large ant colony altogether, millions and millions of ants, and he refers to the ants as the Ole Mitzrayim, an example of a large number. Ole Mitzrayim, literally the ones that arose from Egypt, the Jews that were redeemed from Egypt. But he refers to the ants as Ole Mitzrayim. And the prohibition of the fruits is only if he did not see this large number of ants. But he did see the large number of ants. You could have a large ant colony measuring millions of ants. And he refers to ants as Ole Mitzrayim, and he saw millions of them, so the fruit should be mutter. The fruit is also only if he did not see, but he did see. V'shaper mishtaba, and his oath was a truthful oath. And therefore, why does the source say that the fruits shvus havai asurim, that the result would be that the fruits are asur? Now, the basis of Ravina's question is the term that we dashed underlined, the asik lahon shma. He referred to something as something else. He referred to the ants as Ole Mitzrayim. The Gemara continues at the top of Chof Hei Omer Aleph. Omar Le, Rav Ashi answers, Ki Mishtaba, when a person swears, Adaito Didon Mishtaba Vanan Lo Maskino Nafshin Ashum Shamni. Person vows, according to our standards, and we don't call ourselves ants. The Ran at the in the Ran commentary, you'll notice the Ran commentary about a quarter of the way down from the top. Adaito didon ishtaba di afagav de lo amrinon le. Even though we don't instruct him ishtaba al datenu, swear according to our standards. Eino nishba al mashi yesh belibo el al datenu. When a person swears, he doesn't swear according to his own thinking. He swears according to our standards. And likewise, the Rashi at the top, Adaito didon ishtaba kederach shebnei odom nishboin, the way people regularly swear. V'ein derech b'nei odom likroi l'namolim Ole Mitzrayim. It's not normal. It's not the way for the. It's not the way of people to refer to ants as the redeemed ones of Egypt. At this point, as you can see, we have a triangle marking scheme. The sukya continues, and we should have noted a little earlier that the discussion of does a person swear according to his own thinking or according to popular thinking, this is a topic that continues down through this omen. So in the context of our Dafyomi Gemara marking shir, this would be a somewhat convenient pausing point, but realize that we're in the middle of a discussion. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.